You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
70 years ago today, Jack Roosevelt Robinson would cross a barrier that had not been crossed before. And in the process, he became a voice for the voiceless.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rickey. I'm certainly delighted with my contract. And
the whole situation in breaking the barrier was done simply because we had a purpose in mind to go out and win.
Fans, opposing players, he talked about all the people who are going to be anti. He said, we're going to have some people on our side, but we really are not going to have very many allies. We're going to have to do this thing simply by the box score. And you've got to turn your cheek at every opportunity.
I know that life in these United States can be mighty tough for people who are a little different from the majority in their skin color or the way they worship their God or the way they spell their name.
And I think the conscience of America is beginning to awaken. The only thing that we're demanding is that we be allowed to move ahead just like any other American citizen.
There's no longer a mention of Joe Blow, Negro ballplayer, this kind of thing, which is as it should be. I think they should be judged solely on their abilities out there, and the race shouldn't have anything to do with it.
I don't pretend to be an expert on communism or any other kind of politicalism, but you can put me down as being an expert on being a colored American with 30 years of experience at it. And just like any other colored person with any sense, enough to look around him and understand what he sees.
I would just like to say that I was really just a spoke in the wheel of the success that we had some 25 years ago.
And first it was Montreal, then you moved into a town like Brooklyn, and it was just fantastic the way the fans responded and reacted. They were a great bunch of people, and I've always been very appreciative for the support and guidance that we got from fans as well as from Mr. Rickey and the family.
I'm extremely proud and pleased to be here this afternoon, but must admit I'm going to be tremendously more pleased and more proud when I look at that third base coaching line one day and see a black face managing in baseball. Thank you very much.
Managing the Dodgers is really so important to me. But on Jackie Robinson Day, for me to be wearing this uniform as a manager and to have that number 42 once again on my back was really special. And there were definitely a few moments in that day, in that night, that I reflected on Jackie and knowing he was looking down on us with a smile on his face.
The historic moment that we remember today will not become a distant memory. For wherever there is an injustice in this world, where people are not treated equally, there is the shining example of this man, number 42, Jackie Robinson.
Amazing. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this very special event. This is the Dodgers' 60th season in Los Angeles, and for the majority of that time, they have been at this stadium overlooking the city, and this has been their home. There have been a few changes since it opened in 1962, but for most of the time, this magnificent location has remained a timeless beauty. Today, we will add a new element to this place. The Dodger Hall of Fame manager, Tommy Lasorda, refers to as Blue Heaven on Earth. It is a feature that pays tribute to the team's Brooklyn past and, more importantly, one that honors an American hero whose achievements are respected throughout the world. You know, it was 70 years ago on this date that Jackie Roosevelt Robinson became the first African American to play Major League Baseball. The roots of that groundbreaking moment that happened at Ebbets Field actually were planted not too far away, just right up the road in Pasadena. It was Jackie's older brother, Matthew, a silver medalist in track and field at the 1936 Berlin Games, that inspired his younger brother to pursue athletics. Jackie excelled in football, basketball, track, and baseball, but what Jackie really excelled at was standing up for himself, his race, for anyone that wasn't treated the same and had the same freedoms and respect as anyone else. That is why we celebrate today and forever with the first statue to find a permanent home here at Dodger Stadium. Now, part of what makes this day so special and this unveiling incredible is the company that we have here with us today. It is an honor to be on this stage with the woman who stood by Mr. Robinson's side from the very beginning and fought the fight right along with him. If he was here today, he would probably tell you that what he achieved and what he did could not have been done without this beautiful woman. We are honored to have with us today the founder of the Jackie Robinson Foundation and a heroic figure in her own right, Mrs. Rachel Robinson. She's a true American treasure, and I'm joining Mrs. Robinson today. We will hear later in the program from her children, Sharon and David Robinson. So it is exciting to have you here also. All right, now before we hear from all the esteemed folks here on the stage, we would like to acknowledge a few of the guests who are joining us here today for this historic moment. He made his major league debut with the Dodgers on May 20th, 1947. He made an immediate impact that helped Brooklyn win the league pennant and earned himself National League Rookie of the Year honors. He was a member of the 55 World Champions and the 56 National League MVP Cy Young Award winner, a man that former President Barack Obama praised as one of the trailblazers that helped to pave the way for his own success, the very great Don Newcomb. Now, you know, one of the greatest moments to ever happen at Dodger Stadium occurred on April 4th, 1972. That was the day that the organization retired the numbers of Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and another gentleman who's joining us today. He's a member of four World Series champion Dodger teams, including the 55 team, which he was able to celebrate with his teammates, Jackie and Nuke. Please welcome Sandy Koufax. Do you have another start in you? You look like you could go today. Okay, I looked out, I was like, he could throw today. All right, next up is another former teammate of Jackie's. You can see the two of them in this 1954 team photo. I mentioned him earlier. He is the man who named this place Blue Heaven on Earth, and he has some other accomplishments on his resume, one or two. I see him sitting down there. He's a Hall of Fame manager of two World Series champion Dodger teams and a member of the 1955 World Champion Brooklyn Dodgers, the one and only Tommy Lasorda. All right, let's get to our first speaker. And our first speaker this afternoon is the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Dodgers, a man who is helping to restore the faith. Please welcome Stan Kasten.
Thank you, Kevin. It's such a great honor to be here representing the Dodgers on this magnificent occasion, this once-in-a-lifetime occasion, literally, and I could not be happier to see Rachel and Sharon, David, and your whole extended family here. It's so great that you could all make it here on this occasion. You know, every advancement in society has come from people standing on the shoulders of giants. And in the history of baseball, in the history of our country, few people have stood taller than Jackie Robinson. Jackie stood for many things. He stood for excellence on the field. He stood for excellence off the field. But mostly he stood for the proposition that all human beings deserve their dignity and their respect and fair treatment at all times. I often say that the Dodgers have had the greatest impact of any sports team ever anywhere in any sport on popular culture and society at large. And that is largely due to the bravery, the heroism of Jackie, and his accomplishments, his lessons, and his legacy lives on with everyone who is a part of this magnificent organization, all of our fans, and really all Americans everywhere. So again, thank you all for being here on this fantastic day. It's great to see all of you. Thank you.
Now, in the video that we played at the beginning of the ceremony, there was a clip of Jackie just days before his passing. It took place at the 1972 World Series, and his desire to look down to third base and see on that third base coaching line a man of color, an African-American, was fulfilled in 1975 when one of my greatest heroes, Frank Robinson, became the first African-American manager in Major League Baseball. In fact, Frank was a player manager that season. He homered in his first at bat. Still had game. We knew that. He was a member of baseball's Hall of Fame, and in 2005, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President George W. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Frank Robinson.
Thank you, Kevin. Let me see. Don't worry about this piece of paper. I'll be short. It's just when you get my age, you just don't remember things. First of all, I'd like to thank the Dodgers and the Robinson family, Rachel, Sharon, and David, for giving me the opportunity to say a few words here today. Be a few. I have great respect and admiration for them personally and what they do for young people and their foundation for their education through their foundation. It's a tremendous effort that they put in. It's amazing how many young kids have gone on to have success in life because of them, and still going. I don't see how they do it. I really don't. I met Jackie when I was a young man, and I met him in spring training. And in those days, you didn't speak unless you were spoken to. And he happened to speak to me, and I couldn't get a word out. I respected him as a man, as a player, even more than that, for what he did for the game and society. And if it hadn't been for Jackie, naturally I would not have achieved what I have achieved in life. Thank you for having me here today.
Always messing around, just like at the Laker games. You see him sitting on the baseline, always there. You know, in 1950, when Jackie was starting his fourth season with the Dodgers, there was a new voice in the broadcast booth that would be calling Dodger games for the next 67 seasons. Along with Frank Robinson, he too is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And last November, he too was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Don and Sandy may have played alongside Jackie, but this man actually competed against him. Please welcome the greatest broadcaster in the history of baseball, the one and only Vin Scully.
Thank you, Kevin. Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant Saturday to you. Couldn't resist that. There is a picture that they just showed a moment ago, and it shows Jackie Robinson and Vin Scully poised to race on ice skates. And it was the end of my first year, and the Dodgers had asked me to go to Grossinger's, a well-known resort hotel in the Catskill Mountains in New York. And being a kid, having grown up with the snow and the ice in New York, I had a great pair of skates. I was a pretty good skater. Jackie and Rachel arrived at almost the same time. And Jackie looked at me and he said, oh, you're going to go skating? I said, yeah. He said, I'll go with you. I said, great. And then Rachel said, well, I'll go too. Rachel was 7 months pregnant. We tried to talk her out of it, but just like Jackie, her mind was set. She was going to go ice skating. So Jackie and I go into the dressing room. We're putting on the skates, my big long racer blades, really hot dog stuff back then. And as we're lacing things up, Jack said, when we get out there, I'll race you. I said, wow, Jack. I said, you're from Southern California. I know you're a great athlete, but I didn't know you ice skated. And he said, I've never been on skates in my life. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I'm not a great skater, but I can certainly beat someone who's never been on skates in his life. And Jackie got very serious and said, yes, but that's how I'll learn. The competitive spirit would drive him to learn. Meanwhile, talking about competitive spirit, my heart was in my mouth, not because of Jackie, but I look out on the ice, and here she comes, Rachel, 7 or 8 months pregnant, and the whole place is terrified except her. She is absolutely having a wonderful time. And unless my chronology is wrong, that small baby in her tummy at the time was Sharon, who was born in 1950. Now I have one other story. I've told this story before, but come to think of it, I've told every story before. But I'd like to hear it again, if you don't mind. Jackie Robinson. It was back about 1950, maybe 51, not more than that. And Jackie, who had received other threatening letters, apparently received one that was deadly serious and impressed the authorities. We were in Cincinnati for a weekend series to play at Crosley Field. The letter intimated the deed would be done on Sunday. Sunday morning, when the team was in the bus going to the dressing room, it was pretty quiet. And in the dressing room, it was very quiet. This was the most serious pregame atmosphere probably in the game. Everyone was worried. And it was very quiet. And the Dodgers had a young left fielder by the name of Gene Hermansky. And Gene was colorful, bright, blonde, white, and fully you know what. And with this quiet atmosphere in the clubhouse, Gene suddenly said, I've got it. And everybody looked and they said, what? He said, we'll all wear number 42 and they'll never know which one is Jackie Robinson. Now that seemed funny at the day. In 1997, Jackie's number was retired. And in 2004, Gene Hermansky's words from 1950 came to fruition. We'll all wear number 42. So tonight, when the Dodgers in Arizona line up on the foul lines, they'll be wearing 42. And all across the country, in every major league ballpark, every player will be wearing 42. And what does the 42 mean? It doesn't mean that they're all equal, not in the respect. Some are taller than others. Some are heavier than others. Some are left-handed. Some are right-handed. But the one thing they share in carrying number 42 is the fact that the man who wore it gave them the one thing that no one at the time could ever have done. He gave them equality, and he gave them opportunity. Those were the two things that many of those people never had to hold of their hearts when they first began to play. So yes, 42 is a great number. It means a lot for a great man, but it is a tremendous number when you think of the men who wore it with such dignity, with such pride, and with such great discipline. And wasn't it sweet that he had Rachel on his arm? Love you, Rachel. Thank you.
Simply the greatest, that man right there. And by the way, who won the race? Never told us.
We poised for a picture.
And that was it.
Jackie was walking on his ankle. No
time. All right, right now I would like to invite to the stage the sculptor commissioned to create this statue saluting Jackie Robinson. He was born in New York City, graduated from Cornell, and won the James Wilbur Johnston Figure Sculptor Competition. Please welcome Branley Cadet.
So I just want to say that it's been a great honor to have this opportunity to sculpt a sculpture to someone who has been a personal hero. As an African American, I'm a direct beneficiary of the hard work of social change that Jackie Robinson, the Dodgers organization, and of course the Robinson family have done for decades now. It was my intention to create a sculpture that captured Jackie's courage and dynamism, both on the field and metaphorically at least, off the field. May it inspire us all to continue the hard work of working towards the greater good. As a token of our appreciation for all that you've done throughout these decades, we have a memento of this memorial to present to the family. Thank you for all you've done.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to thank Dave Roberts for coming up right now and giving that away. Thank you. Thank you for being here right now. You have a baseball game today, but this is a very important day, and so thank you for being here and always being such a supporter of the Robinson family, and of course, bleeding blue. Ain't nothing wrong with bleeding blue. And those beautiful, what a beautiful statue that will be. I do want to say that if Jackie Robinson were here today, he would without a doubt be proud of our very next speaker, because he changed the world, and there are a few people who have changed the world. He is a Hall of Famer, but he's in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. He was a champion on the court, but more importantly, he has been a successful community leader, an entrepreneur, a role model. Doggone it, you brought Starbucks to Crenshaw. In 2012, he became the first African-American owner of a Major League Baseball team, something we've been waiting for a long time. Please welcome one of the greatest ever, Irvin Magic Johnson.
Well, first of all, God is so good. And when you think about what Kevin just said, somebody had to pave the way for me. And in my life, I've had a couple of heroes in sports, Muhammad Ali and as well as Jackie. And I couldn't do what I do without those guys knocking down doors and barriers. And I'm only standing on their shoulders. I'm only able to do the things that I do because of a man like Jackie and Frank Robinson and on and on and on. So I am truly blessed. And when I think about Ms. Robinson today and myself as a minority, the guy who just left the stage and he curated this statue, he's a minority. The manager who just left the stage is a minority. You know that Jackie is just smiling in heaven right now saying, wow, the whole country has changed since he broke the barrier of being the first African American to play in MLB. So this is truly a wonderful, wonderful day for all of us. I'm gonna be real short. Mark, who is our majority owner, had a couple of things that we had talked about, the whole ownership group. Stan's just had his chance to speak. Peter is here. Bobby is here. Both stand up real quick, please. And Kim is somewhere, because I would say that Kim and Mark and the rest of us made sure that first thing we wanted to do was to bring the fans back. The second thing was to improve the team. Check, check. The third thing we wanted to do was to make sure that we put money into the stadium. Check again. The next thing we wanted to do was to honor Jackie. And because of Mark and Kim and their leadership, and then Todd and the rest of us, we all jumped on board and we wanted to make sure that we honored Jackie in the way he's supposed to be honored. And we're about to see that today. And then we got one more box to check, and that's to win a World Series. So thank you for allowing me to be up here. God bless you guys. Kevin, thank you. You're doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. You have that nickname of Magic, but everywhere you go, it's like magic. You change it. You bring us together, and you promise a World Series. We'll be waiting on that World Series. Like magic. All right, good afternoon. I just want to now introduce some of Jackie's children, because it is their chance to speak, and, you know, I think it's hard when you have a famous father who the world wants a piece of, and he belonged to the world, and he meant so much to so many people, but at the same time, it's your dad. Please welcome Sharon and David Robinson.
Well, my brother's from Tanzania, so he didn't quite trust these teleprompters. So we both brought our papers up just in case we needed them. I'll put my glasses on, that would help. Good afternoon. I actually wanted to start this day singing Oh Happy Day, because it was my dad's favorite gospel song, but my brother thought that was a little hokey, so I'm skipping that. But happy Jackie Robinson Day. You know, we thank all of you for coming out to the unveiling today. It is a gorgeous day, and we're thrilled that you're here to share it with us. Like you, we've seen pictures and early renderings, and we're very excited to see the actual statue. I'd like to thank Stan Kasten, Sandy Koufax, Vince Scully, Nichelle, Barbara, and Frank Robinson for sharing this moment with us. Thank you. We are grateful for the sculptor, Brantley Cadet, for his work and vision, and to Magic Johnson and the Dodger ownership and entire organization, and Commissioner of Baseball, Robert Manfred. My brother David and I stand before you with immeasurable pride. Our extraordinary and loving mother is 94, almost 95. We are blessed by her wisdom, her sense of humor, and her indomitable spirit.
Well, it is a great honor to be back in California, where my father was born in Pasadena. And I was born in 1952, so I did not see the impact of baseball as much as some of the elders here, but I can see it in the spirit and the words of the people here today, that baseball really has achieved a coming together of people over the 70 years and continuing that great impact on society, which is an entertainment, but also a social change element and a venue where we can all become, have a commonality. And we're sitting here and you've got fans up in the bleachers there. So it is an honor to be here honoring a man and honoring a sport that has done so much. And at the foundation of coming together, of course, is family. So we are extremely happy to have a bunch of Robinsons. My father's brother's family is here. My uncle's wife, Delano Robinson. Got our cousins Randy and Linda here. Bunch of family. My daughter's here in the front aisle. So we're joining this larger family of Frank Robinson and Magic. It's great to see you, Mr. Newcomb. Mr. Cole, you don't look like you qualify as an elder, sir, so I'll call you. Have Sandy here. And we are a bunch of elders, even myself, born at a later year than yourself. But the Jackie Robinson message, spirit, determination, and strength is being carried on by young people who are here today representing the Jackie Robinson Foundation. And yeah. ...214 scholars in undergraduate schools, 23 students in graduate schools across the country today. Jackie Robinson scholars who are not just receiving the financial assistance from the scholarship program, but they are being mentored and they are themselves embracing the embodiment of Jackie Robinson and the courage that it takes to change society. 1,500 students have graduated over the 43 years. The work that began by Rachel Robinson, family members and very close family friends. Over $70 million spent to support our youth, the development of our nation. And it's a great tribute. That will carry on. That foundation is endowed. That foundation is opening a museum. And when all of us are looking down, we will have thousands of students who bear the Jackie Robinson name that will be something for all of us to remember with pride. So, and in embodying Jackie Robinson, the foundation has almost a 100% graduation rate. When those kids get into college, they know whose name they're bearing, they know the tasks they have, they are not going to quit as Jackie Robinson did not quit in his task. We're honored also to have the foundation's chairman an alumni of the Jackie Robinson program, Greg Gonzalez with us today, as well as board members, alumni, and students. So it's an honor. I thank and am thankful for being with you here today.
So in addition to the numbers that Dave talked about from the Jackie Robinson Foundation, we actually have a player here from the Dodgers who supports three scholars. Andre, Ethier. Oh, geez, Andre, I'm sorry. Andre Ethier, please stand and say thank you. The Dodgers organization and the Dodgers Foundation have supported over 100 scholars over the past few years. So we are partners on many levels, and they also have, they're one of the founding supporters of the Jackie Robinson Museum. So, Dave, you know, this statue we've been talking about, this towering stature, a tiding. Captures Dad's fierce passion and determination. He was a passionate, compassionate man who broke barriers on and off the field. And it is our hope that the statue will be a reminder to kids and adults that life is a glorious challenge filled with stolen bases and strikeouts, and that it will inspire each of us to fight back against injustice, build strong communities, take risks, and embrace the beautiful diversity that is this great nation.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.